Okay, good morning. Today's daf is Nedarim daf Samach Zayin. Yesterday we finished the 9th parak of Maseches Nedarim. Today we're going to begin the 10th parak of Maseches Nedarim. I had mentioned at the beginning of yesterday's shiur that yesterday's daf was sort of easy, and it was definitely entertaining, at least on the base. Today's daf is much more difficult. Today we're going to talk about the idea of Hafaras Nedarim. So until now, we spent at least the last perek talking about the concept of Hatara, where you could get a Hataras Chacham or a Hatara from a basin of Gimel Hadyotos, and we spoke about the concept of Pesach in order to be Matara Neder, to say, if you would have known XYZ, would you have made the nether? And if the guy says no, then we're going to be matur the nether for him. We discussed the idea of poskim benolad, ein poskim benolad, different things that you are allowed to be poseach with. Over here, we're going to talk about the concept not of hatara, but rather of hafara. So just a couple of basics, and we just read about all these concepts in the Parshas Shavua a couple of weeks ago. But just Bederech Hakdama here, just to orient ourselves, because the first Mishnah in the Perek is going to talk about an Arum Arasa. It's going to talk about a girl, a young girl who's engaged, and it's going to talk about how her father and we'll call him her husband, but not a full husband, because they've only got Erisin, they don't have Nisuin yet, how the father and the husband can be Mefer her Nedarim jointly, but neither of them can be Mefer her Nedarim alone. So just generally speaking, there are three stages of development that a girl goes through. From the time a girl is born until she is 12 years old and is motzi shtei sairo, she is a katana. So she is in the stage of katnus. Now, then from the time that she's 12 years old until 12 years old and 6 months, she is a nara. She's in the stage of narus. And then after 12 years and 6 months, she becomes a bogeres. So she's more fully mature. So if an unmarried girl who is either a katana or a nara takes a neder or takes a shvua, then her father can be made for the neder, her father can annul the neder. But the thing with hafara is that hafara has to be done biyom shamo. It has to be done on the day that he actually hears the neder. Now, if the father initially confirms the neder, then he can no longer revoke it, because a neder that's been mekuyam can no longer be mufar, can no longer be revoked. Now, once the girl becomes a bogeres, once she reaches that stage of maturity, she passes katnus, she passes nara, she becomes a bogeres, even if she's still single, even if she's still living in the father's house, she remains outside the father, she actually leaves the father's jurisdiction, and he can no longer revoke her nedarim. So also, once a girl becomes a nesua, once a girl has not only erisin but also has nesuin, then she also is completely outside her father's jurisdiction, even if she's still a ktana or a nara. It doesn't matter, that, you know, it's not totally on her necessarily becoming a bogeres. So there are basically two things that are motzi a girl from a father's rishus. Either she becomes a bogeres, in which case she leaves his rishus, or she becomes a nesua, she actually gets married to somebody else, in which case she also leaves his rishus. Now, the husband of a nesua can also, like the father of a nara, be mefer her nedarim, but again, only on the day that he hears about the neder, unless he's previously been mekayim the neder, and after the initial kiyam, he can no longer be mefer the neder. Now, during the state of erisin, we're in this sort of nether period. Now, this is all assuming the girl's not a bogeres, because if the girl is a bogeres, as we've said just before, she already leaves the rishus of the father. But if the girl is not a bogeres, let's say she's a nara, so she's between the age of 12 and the age of 12 years and 6 months, and she has erisin, so she's betrothed, she has an erisin, she's engaged to someone, she's under the joint jurisdiction of the father and the husband, and her nedarim may be revoked only by the father and by the arus. So, and again, only on the day that they hear about it. So the Mefarshim point out, and we'll see this in the context of reading the Mishnah as well, that the concept of hafara by a husband and the concept of hafara by a father differ fundamentally in the following respect. The concept of hafara by a husband and a father and the concept of hatara by a chacham or gimel adyotos, which we had been discussing in the previous perek, differ fundamentally in the following respect. By hatara, if you make a neder and then you have hataras chacham, then the neder is retroactively cancelled, and it's as if the neder never existed. Masha'in kein hafara of a baal or of an av, it revokes the neder mikan ul haba. From this point forward, it revokes the neder, but it doesn't have the koach to be retroactively annulling and revoking the neder. So what's the nafkamina? So the nafkamina is what happens if a person violated the neder between the time that the neder was made and the time of hatara. So by hatara, which is considered to revoke the neder retroactively, there's no iser, because it's as if the neder never existed. By afara, which is only matar the neder, which only revokes the neder mikano laba, you would receive a punishment, you would violate an iser for violating the neder before the period of afara, because afara doesn't have the power to retroactively annul the neder, it's only purely mikan ulahaba. The Ramban says that this distinction is apparent in the lashonos that the Torah uses, that hatara is from the lashon of mutar, which literally means untied. So if you envision a rope with a knot, and if you untie the knot in the rope, it's as if the knot never existed. There's no evidence of the knot whatsoever. Hafara, as opposed to being untied, as opposed to meaning untied, means to cut, because literally it cuts off the neder mikan laba. So if you have your rope with a knot in it, and you cut the rope at a point other than right in the center of the knot, you'll have the rope cut in two, but the knot will still be apparent. And that's symbolic, says the Ramban, of the fact that the neder is still there, it's just mikan laba, it's considered to no longer exist. And therefore it does have effect retroactively. We'll also see, and we'll start discussing this in a couple of days, that whereas hatara applies to all sorts of nedarim, a woman or a man can go over to a chacham or to Gimel Adyotos and seek hatara of any sort of neder, the concept of hafara by a husband only applies to dvarim shebeino lebeina, or dvarim shel inu nefesh, only nedarim that cause her an inu nefesh, or that cause him an inu nefesh, and dvarim shebeino leveinod, matters that are very personal to them, that affect the marital relationship. Only those nedarim can be mufar by a husband. The Rishonim debate whether the same restriction applies to hatara of the whether the same restriction applies to hafara of the father, whether the father is only able to be mefer nedarim beino leveina, or whether the father is able to be mefer all sorts of nedarim that the daughter makes. So that's just the concepts that we're going to be discussing today. And today's going to be focused again on the halacha of nara marasa aviyu bala mafira nedarea, and then is going to seek in the psukim a source for this idea that it's dafka by erusin that the husband and the father can jointly revoke, but the halacha would be different when the girl is single. In other words, she's only in the jurisdiction of the father. And the halacha would also be different when she's married, in which case she's only in the jurisdiction of the husband. So we'll see sources, or at least one Amora source for all of that in today's daf. So says the Mishnah, beginning of the 10th parak, bottom line, Samach Vavam Abeis. So Nara Hamarasa, so Nara Marasa, a girl who is in the state of Erisin. So Viyo Vala Mafira Nadareh. So again, her father and her husband can be Mayfair. Her father and her husband can be Mayfair. Her nedarim. Her father and her husband can be made for her nedarim. So says the Mishnah, Hefer av velo hefer abal. If the father is made for the neder, but the husband does not revoke the neder, hefer abal velo hefer av. Or if the husband revokes the neder, but the father does not revoke the neder, then eino mufar. Then the neder is not revoked. So the Gemara is going to ask, this is the first halacha that you taught me. You taught me that the father and the husband have to be made for the neder, and then you told me that if one does it without the other, then it's ineffective. Well, of course, that's a byproduct of the first halacha that you taught me. And ve'in sarach lomar shakiyam echad mehem. And says the Mishnah, and no chiddush, if one of them is actually mekuyam the neder, mekayim the neder, then it can no longer be mufar because it requires a joint revocation. And over here, you had one person not only failing to revoke the neder, but actually being mekayim the neder. So this is all by hafara, as we said. And again, there are distinctions, very fundamental distinctions between hafara and hatara. There's a machlokes whether if a person was mekayim a neder, whether that neder is also yotze mechlal hatara, or only it's yotze mechlal hafara. In other words, if you take a neder and then you're mekayim the neder, can you then go to a chacham or to a basin of gimel idiotos and be mater the neder? So by hafaras the dorim, we know it doesn't work. The Ma'arik says that if a person is mekayim the neder, then not only does it yotze mechlal hafara, it's also yotze mechlal hatara. However, what we see from here is that if the father or the husband is simply shoseg and is not mekayim the nether at all, then she could still get shelas chacham. Now, even though it's interesting, even though he can no longer be mefer the nether, because he can only be mefer the nether biyom shamo, if he failed to be mefer the nether but was shoseg but was never mekayim the nether, it would come out that she's still eligible for Ataras Chacham later on. So why do we make that distinction between Shtika and between Kiyam? So the answer is because Kiyam actually strengthens the Neder and therefore has the ability to take the Neder outside of the context of Atara. It removes the Neder from eligibility for Hatara. But Shtika, it's not Makayim the Neder, it only causes you to lose your Schus Hafara. And since it doesn't strengthen the Neder, while he can no longer be made for the Neder, because in a Hanami he loses his Schus Hafara, the Torah says in the Beferish in the Pasuk that you can only be made for the Neder Biyom Shamo, because it doesn't strengthen the Neder, that Neder will still be eligible for Hatara. Okay, so that was the halacha of the Mishnah. You have a Nara Marasa, a Vio Bala, Mafir and the Dera. They have to act jointly. So says the Gemara, Sahainu Resha, a Vio Bala, Mafir and the Dera. The Mishnah is asking, this halacha that you taught me on the top of this Amud, Hefer Avalo, Hefer Abal, Hefer Abalo, Hefer Av, Eina Mufar, is another way of saying the first halacha that you taught me in the Mishnah, Nara Marasa, Ovio Bala, Mafir and the Dera. I get it. We need both of them. Why are you teaching me the second halacha? So says the Gemara, Mal Detema, O Avia, O Balaktani, because I might have thought, I read the Mishnah a certain way because of what the Seif of the Mishnah says. But if I'm reading only the first line, Nara Marasa, Avia, Ubala, so we know that the Vav in Hebrew can mean either, it could be either conjunctive or disjunctive. It can mean either and, or it can mean or. So I would have thought that when we say Nara Marasa, Avia, Ubala, that unlike by a single girl, that it's only the father. And unlike by a married woman, where it's only the husband, I might have interpreted this to mean Nara Marasa is different because it's either the father or the husband, Kamash Malan. No, it's not either or. It means both. That the Vav is conjunctive, that it's Avia Ubala, it's the father and the husband are required to be made for the Nadarim. So it wouldn't be Pashat. So says the Gemara, okay, so let's read the next line of the Mishnah. Ve'ein sorech lomar shakiyam echan mehem. And so what we said was that if one of them is mefer without the other, then it's not a valid afara. And certainly it goes without saying that if once one of them is makayim the neder, then that neder can never be revoked, because we said that you need the revocation of both of them in order for it to be effective. Once one of the parties was makayim the neder, he could certainly no longer revoke his share, and therefore it's a neder that's incapable of being revoked. So says the Gemara, Lamili Lamisne, why do we need that last line of the Mishnah? Hashta yesh lomar hefer ze below ze velo klum. If you told me already in the middle case of the Mishnah that when one of them is mefer the neder without the other, then it's not effective because I need both of them to be mefer the neder, kiyam echad mehem lamali. So why do you need to teach me the halakha in the case where one of them is mekayim the neder? If a kiyam a neder is even stronger than failing to be made for the neder, and we know that we need both of them in order to be made for the neder, then it's obvious when you're mekayim the neder. Then it's obvious then when one of them is mekayim the neder that it's incapable of hafara. So if you look in the Ran on the side over here, about seven, eight lines down in the skinny lines here, says Kiyam Echad Mehem Tzricha L'Misni. So it says Bitmiya De Afalgav De Orche De Tanoi L'Masni Zu Ve'Ein Tzorich Lomar Zu. The Ran is bothered. We have all over Shas and Mishnayis where there is a case mentioned in the Mishnah which is a Mechudish Dikah case, and then a subsequent case mentioned in the Mishnah which seems to actually be a less Mechudish Dikah case than the previous case that the Mishnah mention. So in other words, you have a great novelty, and then after that case, the Mishnah tells me something that's very simple. And we have a term for this. It's zu vein tzarech lomar zu. That the Mishnah is first telling, it's not lo zu af zu, it's zu vein tzarech lomar zu. Yeah, this is the halacha here, and ein tzarech lomar zu, you don't have to tell me in the other case that the same halacha applies, because the other case is not even as big a chiddush as the first case mentioned in the Mishnah. So says the Ran, how come we don't say zu vein tzarech lomar zu? What's the Gemara bothering us for? This is the style of the Mishnayos. So the Ran says that the style of the Mishnayos is only when there are two halachos, there are two independent halachos that are taught in the Mishnah, so the Mishnah will sometimes teach both of them, even though the first halacha seems to be more novel than the second halacha, and it will do so in the style of Zu Vein Tzarech Lomar Zu. However, over here, says the Ran, it's mamish the same halacha. You told me there's one halacha in the Mishnah. Nara Marasa Ovio Bala Mafirin Edarea. I get it. They have to act jointly. They cannot act independently. So then you're giving me different examples of them trying to act independently, or of them being unable to act jointly. And the Mishnah is telling me it doesn't work. But I already get it. It's the exact same halacha. And so the Ran says that where you have a situation where the Mishnah tells you two halachas and they were the exact same halacha, we can't explain it away by saying zu vein tzarech lomar zu. The Rashba disagrees with the Ran, and the Rashba says, no, there's no such distinction, that the Mishnah can use the style of zu vein tzarech lomar zu, whether it is two halachas that are the same, that are different from each other, or whether it's even two halachas that are the exact same halacha. So in that case, why does the Gemara ask the Kasha? So the Gemara asks the Kasha because it wants to establish the whole Shak Levitaria. It's not really bothered, because in Echanami, it could have said zu vein tzarech lomar zu. But it wants to elaborate in order to introduce us the whole Shak Levitaria here. That's what the Rashba says. So in any event, the Gemara had asked, if you tell me that you need both the father and the husband to act in order to be made for the nether, and one of them cannot be made for the nether without the other, so then it's obvious that if one of them is Mekayim the nether can no longer be Mufar because it's no longer capable of being revoked by both of them. So says the Gemara, Ki yitzterich le kigon dehefer echad man v'kiyem echad. We're talking about a case where one of them was made for the neder, the other one was Mekayim the neder, v'chazer Mekayim v'nishal ala kamaso, and then the one who was Mekayim the neder tried to revoke his kiyam. He tried to back out of his kiyam. So just like you are able to be shoil on a neder, just like you could revoke a neder, so too you can revoke the kiyam on neder. So what happens is, it's a little bit of a chiddush over here, that one of them revokes the neder out of the box, out of the gate. The second guy tries to be Mekayim the neder, and then he tries to revoke his kiyam. Now, ma'o detema ma'idu uki ha'akrei, so I would have thought that in this case, the nether is still capable of being mufer. It's still capable of afara. Why? Because you had one of them was made for the nether initially, the other one was Mekayim the nether and then backed out of his kiyam, then revoked his kiyam. So I might have thought that which the guy was Mekuyam was revoked, and it's as if the kiyam never existed, and since it's as if the kiyam never existed, this nether is now eligible once again for hafara. Kamash Malan, they have to be mefer the neder bevas achas. So what does it mean, mefer the neder? Mefer the neder bevas achas. So the Ran quotes from the Ramban, who says that if the father was mefer the neder and the Baal was Mekayim the neder and was shoel on his akama and tried to revoke his akama, then both of them can again be mefer the neder bevas achas. So, in other words, what does that mean? So you have one party who was made for the neder, one party was made for the neder immediately. Another party was Mekayim the neder, and then was shoal on his kiyam. So now we have half a neder that remains unrevoked. So what happens now with his neder? Can the second half of the neder be revoked again by the party who was initially Mekayim it, or do we need both of them to act? So the Ran cites the Ramban, who says that the idea of being made for Bavas Achas means that even the one that even the one who was made for the neder initially can be made for it again, now in conjunction with the second guy who was first mekayim it, but then wishalin as a kama, now could be made for it again. And then bavas achash, jointly they could be made for the neder. But then he says that this is not like the shita of the Rambam. The Rambam says that after one of them is mekayim the neder, then he can no longer be made for the neder, then the neder can no longer be moved for at all. Why? Because the hafara of the first one is batal liolam. The hafara of the first one is batal liolam. So in other words, the Ramban basically says that the people have a second chance of being made for bavas achas. Even after one of them was mekayim the neder, as long as he's shawl in his akama, what he's allowed to do is he now, in conjunction with the first guy, are allowed to take two, try again, be made for the neder, bavas achas. The Rambam says, however, that once one of them is mekayim the neder, then the afara of the first one is batal, and that neder can no longer be mekuyim. Now it's also important to note, the Ran says that when we say bavas achas, It doesn't literally mean bavas achas. It doesn't mean that if she makes a neder at shachris, right after shachris, then both of them have to be made for the neder right after shachris. They could be made for the neder over the course of the day. What bavas achas means is that there can't be an interceding kiyum of one of them that comes into effect and prevents that first hafara from taking effect. In other words, it's got to be all hafara. It can't be a hafara and a kiyum, even if you later back out of the kiyum. That's what the Ran means. The Ran also over here, this is a long Ran, there's a lot here, but he brings down a question of the Rashba, that why the first Hafara remains ineffective. According to the sheet of the Rambam, we had said that the sheet of the Rambam is that once, if one of them is made for the Neder, the other one is Mekayim the Neder, even if he's later Shol on his Kiyam, the Kiyam of the second guy causes the Hafara of the first guy to become invalid. It causes the Hafara of the first guy to be worthless. So the Rashba asks, Why would the hafara remain ineffective even after the second person's hakama is annulled? Because if annulment of the hakama uproots the kiyum retroactively, then it should be again like a situation where there's nothing intervening between the two hafaras. So I understand you need nothing intervening, and therefore, if you have a kiyum, that's a problem. But if a shayla on the kiyum makes it as if the kiyum never existed, then again, Viter, you should have nothing intervening between the hafara of the first guy and the potential hafara of the second guy. So the Ran explains that half of a joint hafara has no independent existence, and it can only exist so long as it's capable of being combined with the other half. Once the other guy was Mekayim the Neder, even after he is Shoal on the Neder, the first Hafara ceases to exist because that joint Hafara is capable of existing only in concert with another Hafara. Once there's an initial Kiyam, then we know at that point there is no place for that joint Hafara because that joint Hafara can never be married to another Hafara. So the Kiyam, even though it can later be annulled, that kiyum, even if it comes into existence for a minute, is enough to totally neuter the first hafara of the initial guy. That's the way the Ran that's the way the Ran answers the kasha of the Rashba in explaining why the hafara of one of them ceases to exist and can never spring back into existence after the other person is mekayim the neder. Okay, so now the Gemara from here until the end of Amud Beis is going to talk about Rabba Shita, how we know the concept that by Nara Marasa of Iobala Mafira Nidareah, that it requires both the father and the husband to act jointly to be mefer her nedarim. So says the Gemara like this: V'nar marasa aviyah bala mefer nedareya. Says the Gemara, minolan. How do we know this halacha? So Amar Rabba. So says Rabba, Amar Kra v'him hayosi yela ish. It says im hayosi yela ish unedareha alea. It says v'hayosi yela ish unedareha alea. Mikan l'nara marasa shaviyah bala. From here we know that in Nara Marasa, her father and her husband can be made for her nedarim. So how do we see from here that the father can be made for the nedarim at all? It says Vim Ayasi Elish Unadare Aleh. What do we see from here? So the Ran explains that we see from the pasuk that the father can be made for the nedarim because the pasuk is talking about an arusa. There's already another pasuk There's already another pasuk. The pasuk that comes after this is already talking about a nesua. And since this pasuk is talking about an arusa, it says ve'im hayosi yela'ish. And the ve'im, we apply the concept that we apply a lot in Shas of vav mosif al inyan rishon. And what's inyan rishon? So the way the parsha is set up is that there are three parshios of afara. First parsha of afara talks about a single girl. Okay, where only the father can be made for the nedarim. Then we have two parshios that seem to both be talking about a nesua, because it says v'mayasiela ish unedarelel. So that's the parsha that we're expounding now. And then there's another parsha after that that's definitely talking about a nesua. So the ambiguity is, what is this second parsha talking about? Is it talking about a nesua, just like the third parsha, or is it talking about an arusa? So we'll assume, and we'll explain this in the Gemara in a moment, why we say that the second parsha is talking about an arusa, but the vav of ve'im hayosi yela ish is mosif al inyan rishon, which again was talking about hafaras ha'av of his single daughter. So the vav mosif teaches me that by an arusa, which is what the second parsha is talking about, will establish that just like the father revokes in the first case where she's single, so too he's mefer, so too he revokes in the second case where she's an arusa. But the second parsha where she's an arusa also talks about the husband revoking the neder. So it comes out, because the pasuk itself talks about afara saval. So it comes out that the concept of vav mosif is mitztaref the hafara of the father that the previous parsha was talking about with the hafara of the husband that the current parsha is talking about. So it comes out that by nara marasa you need both the hafara of the father and the husband. So says the Gemara, well, how do you know that this pasuk is talking about an arusa at all? Ema haikra b'nesuaksiv. That maybe this pasuk is talking about an nesua. Maybe im hayosi yela'ish is talking about an nesua, and by an nesua, it's only the husband who can revoke her nedarim. But by an arusa, what would the halacha be? But by an arusa, maybe the halacha is that the father alone can revoke her nedarim, just like when she's single, the father alone can revoke her nedarim. So says the Gemara, well, imishim nesua, if this second pasuk is talking about an nesua, Krach Rinaksiv. There's already the third pasuk which talks about an Isua, V'im Beis Isha Nadara. And if she takes a neder when she's Beis Isha, when she's married. So we already have a third pasuk talking about an Isua. So how do I know this pasuk is talking about an Arusa? It can't be talking about an Isua, because the next pasuk is talking about an Isua, and why would I need two psukim talking about an Isua? Obviously, therefore, this pasuk is talking about an arusa. So says the Gemara, well, how do you know? Ema tarvaya b'nesua. Maybe both of them are talking about an nesua. V'chi tema trei kroi b'nesua lamali. And if you ask, why do I need two psukim to teach me that the halacha by an nesua is that baila is mefer nedarea? So maybe it's l'meimar she'ena bal mefer b'kodmin. Maybe it's to teach me the halacha that ain't about mefer bekodman. There's a halacha that the husband can revoke her nedarim, all right, after they're married. What the husband cannot do is, let's say she takes a neder before they're married, and then the husband hears about the neder after they're married. So even though the husband, you would think, the husband would be able to be mefer her neder biyom shamo when he hears about the neder, it's not the case. He cannot be mefer a neder that preceded the marriage. That's the concept of ein habal mefer bekodman. Now, we'll see at the end of today's daf that even though by an asua ein habal mefer bekodman, by an arusa, the baal can be mefer bekodman. So we'll explain this distinction at the end of the shiur today. But so the Gemara's position right now is maybe none of the psukim are talking about an arusa. Maybe by an arusa only the father can revoke the neder. Both psukim are talking about an nesua. Why do I need two psukim to teach me about an nesua? One pasuk to teach me the halacha that the husband can be mefer nedarim. Another pasuk to teach me that ein habal mefer bekodman, that the husband can only be mefer nedarim that were made after the marriage. So says the Gemara, v'lam emela shamet minei. This can't be true, because this can't be the case, because don't we see that? Don't we see this memela? In other words, if you teach me the halacha of ein habal mefer bekodman, that the husband can't revoke nedarim that were made before before she was a Nesua, then it's obvious that he can revoke the Nedarim that were made when she was a Nesua, because if he can't even revoke the Nedarim that were made when she was a Nesua, it goes without saying he can't revoke Nedarim that were made before she was a Nesua. So what the Gemara is asking is basically, you don't need two psukim to tell me that the husband can revoke and ain abal mefer bekodmin. Just tell me one pasuk that teaches me ain abal mefer bekodmin, but the implication is everything else that came after marriage, of course the Baal can be. Of course the Baal can be Mayfair. So this concept can basically be learned all from one pasuk. So says the Gemara, well, Ibaseima Davoya Kedusha Mashma. So another answer is the Havoya of Im Hoyo Siela Ish, that's the Lashon in the second Pasuk that we're discussing now. That means Kedushin, it's Mashma Kedushin, and therefore it's Mashma that it's talking about Erusin, which is Kedushin and not Nisuin. The Ran asks, really? Havaya is mashma only Erisin? Havaya is not mashma Nisuin? Havaya is mashma both. That Havaya is mashma both Erisin and by Nisuin. And if that's the case, if Havaya is mashma both Erisin and Nisuin, then the Av and the Baal should be able to jointly be Mefer Nedarim after Nisuin, right? Because if you say that Havaya could even be talking about Nisuin, and in the second pasuk, we have the concept of Vav Mosif, which pulls the concept of the father being made for Nadarim back from when she was single. Then it comes out, if you say that Avaya could be Nisuin, then it comes out that in the case of Nisuin, you would have a concept of the father and the husband being made for the Nadarim. But that's pretty crazy. That could never happen. So the Ran says that it was pasha to the Gemara that the father has no koach in the daughter. The father has no jurisdiction over the daughter after Nisuin, just like he has no jurisdiction over the daughter after she becomes a Bogeres. Nisuin is something that causes her to leave the father's jurisdiction, period. So therefore, by Nisuin, it was pasha that it was talking about, by Nisuin, it's pasha that only the husband can be made for the Nedarim. That's why when we have a pasuk that uses a lashon of avaya, but also references the father, it's obvious that havaya in this pasuk means erisin. Even though havaya stam in a chanami can mean nisuin also, this havaya is gotta mean erisin because it's pasha to the Gemara that the father has no place, he has no standing to be made for nedarim in the case of a nisua. It's only by an arusa. So again, havaya is mashma erisin. Therefore, the Vav Mosef teaches me Avia Ubala Mafir Nedarea. So says the Gemara, well, how do you know? Again, how do I know that they have to act jointly? Ema Avluchu De Mefer. I might think that the father can be Mefer the Nedarim himself. That the father can be Mefer the Nedarim herself. The Bachas Gores O Orus Luchu De Mefer. In other words, I might think that either of them can be Mefer the Nedarim on their own. So says Im Kain V'asra Yisar Beis Avia Yaniosa Lamali. So if that's the case, then why would we need this pasuk of Asro Isar Besavia Yaniosa? This pasuk talks about the power of the father to be mefer the nedarim of a single girl. In other words, this is the first pasuk in this trilogy. It's the pasuk that talks about the father being mefer the nedarim of the single girl. Now, if you want to tell me that the havamina is that by an arusa, both the father and the husband should be able to be mefer the nedarim alone without the help of the other, why do you need to tell me that when a girl is single, the father can be made for her nedarim alone? It's pashut, right? Says the Gemara, Hashta yesh lomer b'makom arus mefer avlechudei, if when she's an arusa, and I would have thought that he could only act jointly with the arus, we still see, according to this limud, that the father can be made for the nedarim alone. So then, shelo b'makom arus mibay, when she's single, is it a chiddush to teach me that the father can be made for the nedarim of his daughter alone? It's pasha that he could be made for the nedarim of his daughter alone. So if you want to tell me that the second case is a case of an arusa, but the father can be made for a nedarim alone, then you don't need to teach me the first halacha of the father being made for a nedarim alone when she's single, because it's pasha. So it won't work out. So says the Gemara, well, ema avli bai ara, so maybe not, maybe it would work out. Maybe in the state of Arison, maybe the father requires the assistance of the arus in order to be made for the nedarim, but the arus l'chudei mefer, but maybe the arus can be made for the nedarim himself. So in other words, according to this, it's not like the Girsa of the Bach. According to this, what we're saying is maybe the father Einachanami requires the assistance of the Aras, because if he didn't, then there would be no reason to teach me that he could be made for the Nedarim of his daughter when she's single. So maybe the father requires the assistance of the Aras, but the Aras can be made for them himself. So says the Gemara, V'chitema Avdikasa Rachmana Lamali, and if you want to ask in that case, why does it talk about the Av here at all? So what are we learning from the Vav Mosif? That I thought from the Vav Mosif and the second Pasuk, you were being makish somehow the second Pasuk to the first Pasuk, and you were trying to bring in the requirement of having the Av involved here. But what you're telling me now is that you don't need to have the Av involved. Whereas it's true that the Av requires the Arus in order to be made for the Nedarim, the Arus would not require the complicity of the Av in order to be made for the Nedarim. The Arus Lechora would be able to act alone. So says Lamali. So Av Dekas Rachman Lamali. So why do you need to teach me about the father in this state of Arusin? So says the Gemara. You need the father in order to teach me that even though the Arus can be made for Nedarim alone when she's in Arusa, if the father was actually Mekayim the Neder, then the Arus can no longer be made for the Neder by himself. So says the Gemara, well, Im Kain, Basi Shana Dara Lamali, Lamai Kasav. If that's the case, if you want to say that by a state of Erisin, the husband can be mefer her nedarim alone, acting alone without the assistance of the father, then why do you need to teach me the case of Nisuin, that the husband alone can be mefer her nedarim without the assistance of the father? Kal v'chomer, umab b'makam av, madach b'makam av, when, in other words, in the state of Erisin, when the av still has some sort of tfisa, when he still has some sort of jurisdiction, arus mefer l'chudei, the arus can be mefer the nedarim all by himself, shalob b'makam av, when she's no longer in the jurisdiction of the father. In other words, when she's in a sua, me boy, it's pashut that the husband can then be mefer the nedarim of his wife who's in a sua without the assistance of the father. Sa'ima, embasi shana dara lomar, she'ein abal mefer bekodman. That embasi shana dara, in other words, the third pasuk here teaches me that ein abal mefer bekodman, that the baal cannot be mefer bekodman. Umine, and from that we learn that arus mefer bekodman, that the arus can be mefer bekodman. So what we're doing is we're setting up the third pasuk is teaching me ein abal mefer bekodman. Now, as we explained earlier, if you're teaching me that the husband cannot be mefer the nedarim that his wife made before she was married, it's obvious, it's implicit in that halacha that he can be mefer nedarim that were made after they got married, because if he didn't have that power, of course he can't be made for an adarim that she made before they got married. He can't be made for anything. So if you're teaching me the halacha of ein abal mefer bekodman, it's obvious that he can be made for an adarim generally, just not those that were made before they were married. And from the fact that we say that ein abal mefer bekodman, it's apparent that the arus, as opposed to the Baal, an Arus can be made for an Ekodman, can be made for Bekodman. Now, why would an Arus be able to be made for Bekodman? So the Gemara is bothered. If, generally speaking, if you're an Arus and you only have Kedushin, you only have Erusin, you don't have Nisuin, your kochos to do something with respect to your wife should get stronger when she's in a Nisua, not get weaker. So if you can't be made for Bekodman when she's in a Nisua, why in the world can you be made for Bekodman when she's only in Arusa? Elalav mishum shetfusei da'av. So says the Gemara, it's obvious the reason that the Arus can be made for Bekodman is not because inherently his koach is stronger than the koach that a Baal has over his wife who's in a sua. The reason that an Arus can be made for Bekodman is only because the father is involved. It's only because the father is involved. In other words, it's not that the Arus has a greater koach than a Nasui. It's that the Arus working in conjunction with the father can be made for Bekodman. So basically what we've come out with is we've established the first Pasuk is talking about a single girl, only the father. The last Pasuk is talking about a married married girl, only the husband, and it teaches me that ain't a bal mefer bekodmin. Leaves us with the middle pasuk talking about an arus, and we know that an arus can be mefer bekodmin. How can an arus have a greater koach than the baal? It's only because the arus is acting in conjunction with the father. This is the way Rabbah learns all these psukim. Tomorrow, God willing, we'll learn how Rabbi Yishmael learns all these psukim.